Thank you very much. Thank you to everybody who's here today, and especially thank you, Jesus, because, wow, that worship was amazing. The power of the Holy Spirit is here. It's so awesome. That's okay. I don't.
You want that?
That's okay. I can just put this. Thanks, Dad. As you said, my name is Marlena, and I originally was a teacher to little children, a daycare teacher, and I lived a very normal lifestyle. I lived in a really nice house, and I had, all the best of everything, all the riches, had my own car, I had everything. I didn't lack anything. And one day, God speaks to me. So I just finished getting my education to be an ECE teacher, and I thought, this is what I'm doing, and this is what, my placement, and this is my life. And literally, I had no plans of travel. I had no plan of going to any country or, I just quite comfortable in my routine, in my daily life. And then one day, the Lord spoke to me, and he says, I want you to give it all, and I want you to go. I want you to give all your possessions to the poor, and I want you to go to the countries that I'm going to tell you to go to. And so I was like, you want me to give everything away, Lord? I love you more than any rich I have here in Canada, and I will obey the call that you've placed upon my life. So before I did this big move and gave away everything and left, I had realized that the Lord had been training me for this all along. He'd asked me for 1 hour every day after work, just 1 hour, to walk around praying for people. And so I walk around handing out food and praying for people and rejoicing and praising God, going, thank you, Jesus, right? This is awesome. I'm watching him touch lives and change lives just in my hometown. And I thought, Lord, this is really great. And so then I would, go back home and do this for 2 years. So then he calls me, and the first calling was to Belize. He said, I want you to go to Belize. Loud and clear, as I'm praising and worshiping in a young adults group, I said, what more can I do for you, Lord? He says, I just want you to go to Belize. So I went to Belize just for like a couple of weeks with these gospels, didn't know what was going to happen. And I said, okay, Lord, this is awesome. I'll go. I didn't even know Belize existed. I didn't know it was a country. And so I went there for a couple of weeks, ended up meeting a man named Dan Husseini. Very awesome man. This man, he took me to high schools to preach, to universities to preach, to churches to preach. I ended up all over national television. I was thanked for what I had done in that country. My hotel was paid for. Many people gave their hearts and their lives to the Lord. And I was like, God, this is awesome. This is awesome. Like, you are so amazing, right? And so I went back to Canada, back to my comfort and my riches. Then he called me to Costa Rica, where he moved powerfully. There was people just being touched and healed all over the place. And then he asked me to come back to Canada. And then he had me go to Spain. And Spain is where he'd asked me to stand with this board here. So this board here that says, may I pray for you? He'd asked me to go out into the square and stand and pray for people in the square. And I said, God, all right, this is awesome. So as I'm standing, as I'm praising, as I'm worshiping, he says, I'm going to lead them to you. So he would lead people who are atheists, agnostic, people who have been so hurt by others in church, to me, to this sign, and they would allow me to pray for them. And I'm watching the power of the Holy Spirit literally heal crippled people that are 80 years old like this. They're standing up straight and praising God. I'm watching them heal knees. I'm watching legs grow, and I'm going, Lord, this is amazing. And I was never a preacher. I was the girl that sat in the back of the church, and very quiet, much like he's saying. And I would just sit there and listen and just, quietly be. But as I continued, God just kept on giving me this nudge. There's more for you. There's more for you. I'd like to quote Jeremiah 29:11. The Lord says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. You see, God already has everything planned. He has all of our steps. Everything is planned. All we have to do is choose to walk in obedience to him. And when it's done out of a love for him, wow, how amazing that is. When things are done on a basis of love, not as I have to do this. Oh, this is what I have to do because this is what I've been taught. No. When you're doing it on a love, you love people as your brother because you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you love your brother or your sister as yourself. What a beautiful place that is, because the love of God shines so brightly through you. It's absolutely amazing. Now, I'm speaking this testimony today because it's not about me. It's all about Jesus and what he will do through you. And I want to encourage everybody today to have that faith and to have that trust and to step out, no matter what area God has placed you in. You see, each of us are very gifted, and we're very gifted in different areas. And what a beautiful thing that is when we all come together and we use that in a unity to glorify God. And look at today. Look at the service today. Each person that come up here and spoke, each person that's singing, each person that's sitting there praying, right? God is using you. And it's absolutely such a beautiful thing when he brings us all together and he just uses us together like that. I want to speak today also about the matter of the heart, right? When you're sitting there and you're listening, don't be thinking about, you know, what's going on out there or whatever worry or whatever struggle. Completely surrender it to the Lord and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart today what the Holy Spirit's trying to speak to you. As in John 14, it talks about how the Holy Spirit is your teacher. He's the one that's teaching you. So you can read things over and over again, and as you're reading them out of the Bible, you see certain things are jumping out at you, right? And the Holy Spirit's trying to teach you in different areas of your life, right? One of the biggest areas I find we struggle with is unforgiveness. And when you're struggling with that unforgiveness, you know, the importance of prayer. Wow, to pray, right? And just ask God, you know, heal me in this area, forgiveness, heal me in this area, right? And he will. He will heal your heart so much where it's to such a completion where it's like these things that used to hurt you, it never hurt you, it won't hurt you anymore because God, you've allowed him to come in and pour into those areas. It's all of us, we need to allow that to happen because we are all born with that struggle, the impure heart, right? And we struggle. So when you step aside and allow God to come in and fill those areas, you know, Lord, take away the lust, take away the anger, take away these things that are not right and pour in your love, pour in your forgiveness, pour it in, Lord. Choose to walk in those fruits. So we all have choices, right? So I chose, I said, Lord, I choose you. And I will be obedient to the calling you placed on my life. So I literally cut up my credit cards, threw them in the garbage, so there was no way I could, you know, have hotels or anything paid for in advance. I took one bag of clothes, very basic needs, a toothbrush, toothpaste, basic clothes, and a passport. So whatever country he called me to, he would call me to, I would listen and I would obey. And so all I had literally was my first bus ticket paid for and my first plane ride paid for to Brazil. And that's all that I had and just basic needs. And so as I'm leaving my family and I'm crying, I'm going, you know, I love you guys, but I need to do what God's calling me to do because I believe the truth that he will restore all those years that I'm losing, right? Or however long it's going to take, right? And he'll restore that. And so I believed without a fear and trusted with God. And so as I'm praying on the bus, I'm literally leaving the bus, going to the plane for my first country. I'm praying this prayer very quietly and in my heart. I'm praying, you know, how are you going to provide for me, Lord? I understand what I've just done. I'm not crazy. I understand. I left everything and I left it all. Like, I understand what I've just done. And I'm praying this prayer. How am I going to live with no money? This woman on the bus, I don't know her at all. She turns around. She looks at me and says, the Holy Spirit is telling me I need to give this to you. And she hands me money. And I went, thank you, Jesus. Because, thank you. And so I knew right then that he's going to provide. He's going to provide. And so, because as you see, I wrote on the bottom, free. Some countries I had to write free because, especially Canada, lots of people hold signs like this or put up signs like this because they want money. Now, I'm going to tell you, September 15th will be 3 years, 2 years outside of Canada, the third year across Canada. Not once have I asked for a penny. Not once. God always provided it through the Holy Spirit and through different ways, through different people, but never for the prayer on the road. And so off I go to Brazil, which is my first country. And I just want to explain to you how amazing it is, how many countries. So he took me to 21 countries on a one-way ticket. So I started Brazil, Argentina, Peru, Ecuador, Colombia. Then I flew over to Uganda, Kenya, Ethiopia. Then I flew over to Ireland, Poland, Romania, Macedonia, New Zealand, Australia, Indonesia, Singapore, Philippines, Hong Kong, Taiwan, Korea, Japan, and then I flew back to Canada. So I spent about a month or 2 months in each of these countries, that God would just speak clearly to me. And you know what he would say? He would just tell me, okay, go to this country. So I land in a country, and I don't know anybody or anything. So Brazil is the first country I went to. And so as I'm in Brazil, I'm standing on the board, and I'm going, okay, I don't know what's going to happen. I didn't have any, you know, support or anything. I'm standing with the board. And as I'm standing with the board, I'm just praising and glorifying God. Well, my first day, I'm standing there, and I have about a lineup of like 40 people coming for prayer. And, you know, a lot of people said, you know, this is crazy. You don't know Spanish. You don't know any of these, any language. Like, you're going to Brazil, because that was my first country, and you don't know how to speak their language. But that is the awesomeness of the power of, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So as I'm praying for these people in tongues, they're going into a standstill. It was like a statue. And they were communing directly with Jesus. So I didn't have to speak the language. They were literally, and I would listen to this one man, he was communing with him, and he would say, yes, Lord, I accept you, Lord. He was accepting him into his heart right there through the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, thank you, Jesus. And then he looked at me, and his eyes were just wide and bright, and he was just so happy that he just had a direct conversation with the Lord. And so in Brazil, he was literally statuing people, and as long as it took, I stood there with them. I stood there with them, and sometimes it'd be 45 minutes. Sometimes it would be 10 minutes. It depended on the person and their need, right? And so the Lord would statue these people, and I would be one after the next, and he was delivering them, transforming them. I saw so many lives change, and it was absolutely amazing. So he was showing me just how awesome and how beautiful that this is, living daily in a daily surrender, right? And not having anything planned or prepared, but he was bringing to me the people whom he chose to come to me. I'm going to tell you just a few examples from different countries, because I don't have time to cover all of the countries. But I'll tell you just certain examples, like how he provided the travel. So as I'm flying from South America to Africa, I don't have money. I need like a place to stay. And so I'm on the plane, single girl, flying to Africa. And Uganda is the first place. And so I'm on the plane, and I'm praying, Lord, I pray for a place to stay in Africa. Thank you that you've always prepared a place for me, but I'm praying for a place in Africa. So what does he do? He sits me beside a man named William from London, England, who is originally a Ugandan, and he's going to visit his parents in Uganda. And so this man's not even a Christian. And he looks at me, and he says, that is one of the most unselfish things you can possibly do, is lay down your life to pray for other people. I am so touched and moved by your faith that I'm going to tell my sister-in-law about you, and she happens to be a Christian. And so I was like, oh, awesome. So this guy has a car waiting for me at the airport because it's waiting for him. So I've got a car waiting for me and everything. His sister-in-law accepts me in as her daughter. Her name's Margaret and Robert Sakiti. They happen to be a couple of the richest people in Uganda. They have a huge house, accept me and fed me every day. They also paid for my ticket to Kenya, and they paid for my ticket to Ethiopia, and I had more money for the visas. Now, these are people I didn't know at all, but the Holy Spirit touched them and moved them and was speaking to them, and they said, no, we need to do this for you, right? And so I was like, thank you, Lord. And so as I'm in Uganda, I'm speaking, the Lord opens up huge opportunities. So I started to speak in high schools, to speak in universities. I was all on two top radio stations, because in Uganda, it's the radio that's big, it's not the television, right? And so the Lord started opening up these huge opportunities. And as I'm in Uganda, this mama, Margaret Sakiti, that's their culture. You know, I love going to different cultures and different countries, and you can be a part of the culture and the country, keeping your integrity of heart and showing them and teaching them, right, the love of Jesus. And it's absolutely beautiful. And so I'm there, and she says, you know, I know somebody in Kenya. So she set me up with a woman named Judy in Kenya. So as soon as I arrive in Kenya, she just looks at me, hands me the key, and says, yeah, this place is yours. You can go ahead and stay here. I don't even use it. It's just for work for my son when he comes, right? And so I had a whole pad to stay in Kenya. Also, I meet a man in Uganda who happens to be one of the top evangelists in Uganda, who says, I'm doing a crusade in Ethiopia. So when you're in Ethiopia, I want you to be a part of my crusade. And so then I meet three Ethiopians in Uganda as well, which they had, again, set me up for. As soon as I got off the plane, I had a car there waiting for me. As soon as I had two places to stay. So God had, this is how he's prepared the travel. He had directed. I didn't know any of these people. I didn't know any of them. But the Lord will guide you, and he will direct your steps. And so as I'm praying for people in Ethiopia, they would not let me stop preaching. Now, again, I wasn't a preacher. And so I'm sitting there and I'm going, okay, Lord. And I'm just writing down, like, what do you want me to speak? Like, how do I do this, right? Like, what do you want me to say? And so he brings me to the verse, don't worry about what to speak ahead of time, for my spirit will give you the right words in the moments. And he always has. It's amazing. So I'm preaching in all these different places, and the power of the Holy Spirit is moving people and touching people. And so I would receive an offering from a church to go again to the next country, and to the next country, and to the next country. And that's how most of the travel was provided, was through the different churches and through some people that I stayed with. So as I stayed with people, there was the one woman I stayed with in Ethiopia, she had rats in her walls every day. She said, every day there's rats in her walls. Now, I'm living in a mud hut, right, in Ethiopia. I was sent to the poorest villages that God would send me to. So I went to Oshamara, Brayu, Kella, and I'm praying and preaching on the streets. And it was amazing, the hunger for the Lord. And I had about 40 people in front of me. Now, I needed a translator because I can't just speak English. So what does God do? He teams me up with the church. And so he sends out two people with me every day to be able to translate on those streets for the people, so I could preach and pray, and then these translators could speak the word of God to them. Now, it was such a beautiful thing, and it brought me such great joy watching this man preaching and praying for the people, and he continued to do it after I left. He still messages me saying, I'm still doing the preaching on the streets. And he was just so amazed, right? But this lady that I stayed with, she had rats in her walls every day. She said, the day you walked into my house, these rats have left. And I said, you just thank God and you glorify God, because that's what he'll do. See, every word out of the Bible is completely true. This is your food. This is your promise. This is actually a book of love. And it's training us how to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. You see, when that it's love. And so as you're really opening yourself up and opening your heart up and allowing God to sanctify that, with that comes renewal of mind. All you see is the beauty in people. You see the beauty in them. You don't see their outward appearance, any flaws like that. You just see their heart, and you allow God to touch them. I mean, God poured out healing after healing. I'll talk about Peru. When I was in Peru, it was one of the most amazing experiences, because I was sitting in a little, it was like a square they had outside where everybody, all these elderly people would go to sit. Now, these people were like 70, 80 years old, and they had many problems. I'm talking walkers, I'm talking knee problems, and I can't speak Spanish. And I had this one lady. She started to come against me, and so she just had this real spirit upon her that was just not good. And she starts, rah, la, 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 starts yelling at me in Spanish. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon me, and I just looked at her, and I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you, unclean and impure spirit, to leave this woman and never enter her again. She literally went, boom. She stopped, just dead in her tracks. The demon left her. She looked at me. She started to smile. She walked away, did not bother me since. So I sat around praying for these they were actually hardcore Catholic people, into total hardcore Catholics. God started healing one after the next, after the next, after the next. I saw a lady with knee problems. She started walking away. She's going, you need to get prayer from this chica. God just healed my knees. Get prayer from this chica. And so it was absolutely awesome. Then I prayed for the next guy. He received a healing in his foot. And so I started praying for all of these people, and God just started delivering them and healing them. And it was absolutely amazing. And I'm going, thank you, Jesus. I also prayed for a man on the streets as I'm standing with the board. He was so hopeless. His wife had left him for about 7 years. He said it was about 7 years. And so he says, I need prayer. I want my wife to come back. It's been 7 years. I mean, that's a long time, right? His name is Miguel. And so I prayed with him. And so the Lord statues him, and he's just in this complete awe, and this, the power of the Holy Spirit's just all over him. And he comes out of it, and he goes, oh, thank you so much. So then I see him a few days later, and he's so excited, and he's like, guess what? My wife had called me, and we're getting back together, and this is 7 years. And I said, just praise God and thank God, because it's that's him, right? And so he got back together with his wife, and I stayed in Peru for 2 months. And for 1 month, his wife and him were together. They invited me over all the time to eat, all the time to pray with them. He got me to pray for his whole family, and the Lord healed his daughter-in-law of sorrow because she had lost a child, healed his son, healed his other daughter. He just poured healing into all of them, all their hearts, and it was absolutely beautiful. And for me, it's the greatest joy watching God transform lives, watching him do what he wants to do through me, because I understand this life, it's not about us, it's all about him, right? And so when you're walking in that obedience and in that love for the Lord, it's absolutely beautiful. Your motivation should be just to love God and to love people. Your motive, like in James 4, verse 17 as well, it says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. So when God's speaking to you personally, right, I could have said, no, I'm not going. I'm enjoying all my riches. I mean, I live in a $1.5 million house. I have everything. I'm not going to go live as a homeless girl on the streets. But when you know what God's spoken to you, you must obey and do what he's asking you to do. That's showing true love for the Lord. That's showing him you love him. He's asking us to show him. And so as he's taken me all over the world, he's not only transforming other people and other people's lives, but he's also transforming my heart and my character, and he's transforming it more into his likeness. And that's how we all should be. As Christians, what it should be our number one goal is to live like Jesus. When you read the Bible, I don't believe everybody's supposed to leave everything and go. No. It's a calling that he places on specific people, right? But it's important for us, whichever area he's called you to share the love of Jesus, to show him that you trust him. He's looking for your attitude towards him. He's looking for your faithfulness to him. He's looking for you to trust him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So the more you're trusting him and obeying him and showing that to him, he's just smiling, and he's like, yes, my daughter, I love you. He loves us all, right, so much. And so I continued on my journey. So I went to, you know, to South America. I went to Africa, and then he's asked me to go through Asia. So then I land in Indonesia, and I'm going, okay, this is a Muslim-dominant country, right? I'm in Jakarta, Indonesia. I'm by myself. This is a Muslim-dominant country. And so I'm looking around for the churches. I can't find any churches. I'm going, where's the churches? Well, the churches were all in the malls. And so I would go, and I went to the Jakarta House of Prayer, a beautiful church in the mall. The Lord directed me to a hotel to stay. So I'd like to point out, I never lacked anything. So I left with just a bag of clothes and a sleeping bag. I went willing to sleep on the road. Never once did I sleep on the road. Never once did I even sleep in a homeless shelter or anything like that. I always had either a house provided for me, a hotel, or a motel. I was well provided for in every area. I did not lack a thing, right? Just as the Bible will speak about, right? And so I'm in Jakarta, Indonesia. It's Muslim dominant, and I'm seeing Muslims everywhere, and I'm going, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? So he leads me to Jakarta House of Prayer. So right away, the pastor there, I sat through the first service. All of a sudden, he's like, Holy Spirit's telling me I need you to preach. And so I preached there, and it was absolutely amazing. Again, I was watching kidneys healed. I'm watching marriages restored. I'm watching God, you know, do so many miracles and so many healings. The next day, this one lady comes to me. She's like, do you know that the prayer that you prayed absolutely came true the next day? And she was so surprised. And I said, absolutely. Because when you have the faith to believe, you know that God's doing something. So whenever you're praying, God is doing something. Whether you see an instant healing right away or it's a process, God is doing something. So have the faith to believe it. Don't doubt it. I love that as she's talking about how, you know, he's walking on the water. Peter's walking on the water, right? And he had that doubt. Don't doubt. Walk on that water without a doubt, knowing that God's doing something. He's doing it. It's absolutely amazing. So I'm there, and I'm going to this church, and so I preached, and God's pouring out his healing. He's pouring out deliverances. He's moving powerfully in this church. And the thing that surprised me the most is, so then I started asking, okay, can I have like a pamphlet or something to hand out for your church? You know, maybe you want to grow your church, bring people, come so they can come here and receive more fellowship. They were completely afraid. Every church I went to, no. The Muslims are out there, and we can't have controversy, and no, this, we can't do this. I'm going, why? So I went outside, and I stood by the Muslim mosque as the Lord directed me. And I stood there leading a Muslim girl to the Lord. And I said, why? The harvest is plentiful. And because nobody is out there, nobody that I saw, right, personally. I mean, there could be other people out there that God had directs to go. But personally, when I was there, they were all afraid and sitting in the church. And I went, Lord, bring them out. So I meet this girl named Rara from that church who could speak the language. And I love how God works this. So he teams me with her. She accepts me into her house. So I stayed with her in her house. And she drove me to different areas and was praying for Muslims with me. We went to many Muslim houses and started praying with them. Now, they were so willing and accepting to receive the prayer. And literally, Rara, this girl, so I love how God would pair me with people. So every word that I speak, there's a witness to it. Rara will tell you, yes, I've watched this. Yes, I've seen this. So everywhere I was prayed with people, I was paired with them. And so we would go out and we'd pray for Muslims. Now, the Lord healed this one Muslim man who had a stroke. His whole left side was like this, and he was had a stroke. All of a sudden, he goes, I feel tingling in my body. And he started moving his arms and saying, I've been healed on my left side. And so Rara could tell him about the Holy Spirit. And what just happened to you is we just prayed, and the Holy Spirit now touched you. Now the Holy Spirit has healed you. Now this is Jesus. And so she could witness to him in her in the language as to the truth. And it was absolutely amazing. God had me stay in Indonesia for a month praying for people all over. And many Muslims gave their hearts to the Lord. And I would tell them about the church. And this is, you know, the different churches you can go to. And it was absolutely awesome. I loved also the ministry as he led me to hostels. So I stayed in Chung Keng Mansions in Hong Kong, hostels. So I went to some really dirty hostels he'd lead me to. He'd lead me to these hostels that, you know, some of them you're just like, whoa, like, this is really, like, dirty. There's nothing but gangbangers, drug dealers here. There's prostitutes here, right? Like, there's places that nobody's... I met maybe 3 Christians in all the hostels that he'd sent me to. Now, I'm with this board. And I love Jesus. I'm with this board in these hostels, and people are looking at it going, what is this? What are you doing, right? And so as I'm explaining it, this was a perfect opening to talking about Jesus. So the entire time, I'm just talking about Jesus, and I'm leading these. Well, I'm an atheist. I'm an agnostic. I don't believe in anything like that. Oh, well, so then I start talking to him. You know, this is what God's just done with me, and I start speaking my testimony, and power of the Holy Spirit just touches them. By the end of it, most of them accepted Jesus into their hearts. It's just witnessing about the love of Jesus, right? Like, I was like, God, you are amazing. There's this one man, like, this is what God will do with you if you allow him to just use you as this vessel. So it's power, right? God, it speaks in the Bible, as Paul speaks about. He doesn't come to you with wisdom and eloquence, but with fear and much trembling, right? Like, to stay in that reverent awe of the Lord is the fear of God. And you're to stay in that reverent awe with that fear and that trembling as a reverence to the Lord. You don't come with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. So man's faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power, right? And so I'm in this hostel, and this one man, he's going, I hate you Christians, you know, you guys colonized us, and, you know, people will make judgments like that. He's from South Africa. You guys colonized my country, you people, it's you Christians, and he's just totally angry at Christians, right? Right? You get all different sorts of responses. I mean, I get all different sorts of responses. It wasn't always so positive, right? And so he's just got this anger about him. And I said, oh, cool, come hang out with me. Let's go hang out for a little while. And so he was like, oh, okay? And so I went out, I hung out with him. Well, what happens is that guy looks at me and he says, I've never actually seen somebody with the love of Jesus in them before. I've never seen that. So it's the action that's speaking the most to him. He says, I've never seen anybody with the love of Jesus in them before. And thank you so much, and I would like to accept Jesus into my heart. Now that man, he still messages me and says he's praying. I'm still praying, he says. There's a lot of people that would still message me all over the world to let me know they're still doing good. They're still praying. They're still in the Word, that God's really affected them, that God's really touched them, that they're still doing these things. And I just continually just say, just praise God and thank God, because it's training ourselves to be godly, right? We have to train ourselves in a godly way. Like, this is the verse that the Lord gave to me too. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself may not be disqualified for the prize. We have to train ourselves in this way. You see, all these treasures on earth, they're all going to pass away. Our true treasure is in heaven, right? So as I'm showing this guy just acts of love. I mean, the guy was so angry that all I could do was just love him. I mean, people would look at me and they would get angry. Some people, one girl walks up to me, she looks at me and she goes, you should be shot. And all I did, I didn't get angry or anything. I just prayed for her. I said, Lord, forgive her, because she does not know about you and about your great love. Right? So why is it so hard to just forgive and love people for who they are? Understanding that everybody has a different walk of life. Everybody is in a different placement, right? And we're to love them no matter what. We're all equal here. All of us are equal. The only one to ever walk this earth perfectly was Jesus. So how much more is it for us to learn? He's our prime example. That's who we're to learn from. That's how we're to walk. And so what he did, that's what we need to do. We need to love people no matter how difficult it may seem. But train yourself. Break the cycle. You know, one of the biggest things is fear. Fear will hold you back from your true calling that God's called you to do. Like, there is a big calling and a high purpose for all of our lives, right? And sometimes we'll just settle and be comfortable and, okay, no, I'm comfortable and I'm settled and, you know, this is good for me. But God's actually got this huge purpose and something bigger for you. It's never too late. But we've discouraged ourselves and somehow think, oh, no, this is all I am, and I'm just going to do my thing and go home. And nope, I'm not going to be used very much, right? I can speak from experience. I mean, I sat in a pity party for years. As soon as I rose up and I went, Lord, you are so much greater and you are so much stronger, and broke out in that victory. Wow, right? Knowing who you are as a child, you are a child of the King. You are an heir, and all of us who has accepted Jesus into our hearts and into our lives has this power of the Holy Spirit inside of us. Do you know how many Muslims and people were afraid? They were like, whoa, because the power of God that is in you is so strong. It's so strong. It's not for us to be afraid of other people, but break through that fear, knowing who you are in the Lord. And if you don't understand your personal relationship, then choose to understand it. You know, well, God may speak to you, people said, but he doesn't speak to me like that. I said, actually, he's trying. He's trying. Are you allowing him to speak to you? Are you listening? Are you being still and listening to what God's speaking to you? Or are you just too busy talking and then not listening to him? Right? Our relationship with people, with anybody, with God, is as close as we'll allow it to be, right? If you're putting him at a distance, well, then you're putting him at a distance. But as you're drawing closer and closer and closer to him, he's right there. He's waiting for you just to deepen that relationship. Deepen it with him today. Deepen it. Open up. Do something that's going to open up your heart to allow him in. Right? He's not going to force himself upon you, but we must choose to allow okay, Lord, I allow you to come in and heal me in this area, right? For me, unforgiveness was one of the hugest ones. And it was like a wound that I could describe. It was a gash that was so deep at first. And all I could do was cry and cry and cry and cry. And all of a sudden, it was like he continued to heal it and continued to heal it and to continue to heal it. The more I prayed, the more I went to church, Bible study, and allowed the Spirit to speak to me, he continued to heal it. And now it's like, it's in the past, and it doesn't affect me anymore. It's like he's healed it to such a wholeness, which he will do for us all if you'll allow him, right? It's the most amazing place to be, because when he prays that prayer in John 17, it's for us all. Father, make them one as we are one, as I am in you and you are in me, right? Make them, I'm sending them, right? So he can heal you into such this wholeness and completion. Don't think it's too hard. Oh, that's too hard. I hear it all the time, right? Out there, I'm going, oh, that's too hard. You know, I'm a sinner and I've sinned. It's not too hard and it's not too late, because the Lord loves you so much. Now, how much do we love him back, right? How much do we love him back? You know, when I was working at a daycare, I actually was leading girls to the Lord. And it was a non-Christian daycare, but I knew that the Lord had spoken to me to teach this girl. And so I asked her parents, I said, can I teach your girl about Jesus? This is a non-Christian family. And they said, yeah, go ahead. And so as I'm teaching this girl about Jesus, she's so excited and she comes, Miss Marlena, guess what? I had a dream about Jesus and I accepted Jesus into my heart. And she was so excited and on fire for the Lord. And I was like, this is awesome. Would you like some gospels? And she took these gospels so excited. And she went to her school and she handed them all out and evangelized her whole school. And I was like, God, you are awesome. She's 9 years old. Is that faith and that trust of a child, right? As we're all called to have that faith and the trust. So I end up getting fired from that daycare. Because I ended up leading children. They started to be so passionate about Jesus. And I knew I had such a peace in my heart, knowing that God shut one door and he's opened another. So I got a job right away, just like that, right away, into another, a better job that was amazing. I wouldn't say a better job because I love them both, but another job that was just absolutely amazing and perfect for me. And what do I do again? I start playing Christian music in the non-Christian daycare. But this second daycare I did not get fired from. She actually wrote a letter for me saying, you know, if you ever need to come, want to come back, please come back. But that's how you can bring God in. Like, he'll allow certain things to happen that are very possible when the world and everybody else will tell you, well, that's just not possible, right? But no, believe and have faith and have the trust in God that all things are possible. Believe it. It's a word for all of us here today. Have the faith in him and have the trust in him. So whatever you're struggling with, whatever area that you may think, oh, this is so difficult, right? Understand is Jesus is right there, and he's right there with you. And he wants you to understand that he loves you, and he's just waiting for you to turn to him, to look to him, to listen to him. And he will guide you. He will direct you. He will direct your every step as long as you choose it. You must choose to walk in that way and not choose your own will and your own way, right? I had to listen, Lord, which country do you want me to go to? I even asked him, Lord, where do you want me to stand? Every single day, getting down on my knees, praying and singing to the Lord. That is another act of humility that he's looking for in you. How often do you get down on your knees in reverent awe of him? Every day is what he's asking for us to do. Stay in that reverent awe. Stay in that full surrender. Stay in that complete love for him. And you're allowing him to transform your heart. Pray to him if you're not understanding. I pray, help me to understand. I pray for more wisdom. I pray for more strength. Lord, help me. But don't just pray it once. Pray it over and over and over again. And then watch your life and watch how he's doing it. He's doing it. Break the pattern or the cycle that you're thinking, oh, well, this just isn't happening for me. Break it, because it is. It is happening. Believe that it's happening, because he loves you. You're his children, and he loves you. Oh, I don't want to speak too much. I've got many, many countries and testimonies that I could speak, but I don't want to keep you here too long. But I just really want you guys to leave here today with a faith and a trust in God, and not just feeling the presence and the power of God just here and now, but throughout this week. I want you to praise God in the good times and praise him in the hard times. Praise him. Do what the Bible is teaching you to do. This here was my food the whole time. The whole time I went from place to place, country to country, city to city, with this board, and this is my food. So just as Jesus said when he's talking to the Samaritan woman, I have food to eat you know nothing about, which is doing the will of God. That is your food, and it brings you as joy. You know, I would take out teams of people. I just want to say one more quick thing. There's so much I'd like to say, but I joined with a church in Macedonia. And I joined with teams of people, and we would go out every day. And what brought me one of the greatest joys was watching them lead people to the Lord for the first time, watching them pray for people, and them witness, wow, this person was just healed from strep throat. This person just went to their doctor and said their diabetes has been healed. Watching them do it, right? It brought me such great joy. And I was like, yes, Lord, this is awesome. And all these people looked at me and they said, this is true joy. This is true joy. This is what I meant to do. I was just too afraid to do it. I was too afraid to step out and do it. But this is what I meant to do. And so those people that went out with me, they're still going out now. Yes, I'm still going out and I'm still, you know, doing what God's asked me to do. I'm still doing what's required of me. And it's a great joy. Understand that when people come against you, that they don't understand, pray for them. And understand the Lord has your back. He has your back. He's always with you. He's got your back. So I didn't need to worry. You don't need to worry or have the fear. But understand, God's got this. He's got this, right? Like, just do what was required of you and allow God. So when people, they'll come up and they'll say, oh, well, you know, talk some stuff about you that's not right. I had this one man, I'll tell you an example. He looked at me and he said, I need to ask you for forgiveness. And I said, for what? I don't know that you did anything. He said, you know what? I talked bad about you every day since I met you. And every single word I spoke against you happened to me. Exactly what he said. I said, really? He said, every single word I said against you happened to me, and I need to ask you for forgiveness now, because I don't want any of this to happen to me anymore. I said, I forgive you. I have no reason not to, because God has got your back. Yes. Understand that. I want to encourage you all today to walk in faith in God, walk in trust in God, no matter how weird it is. You know, I'm standing there with a board, like a homeless girl, as a homeless girl, praying for people on the streets. And yet God provided for me. He brought me great joy. He brought me great freedom. He brought me so many great things through it, as well as he did for so many others. He brought healing, deliverance, joy, so many things to many other people. So as you're selflessly doing things for others with your motivation only, I love Jesus and I love people, I want no gain of this, he's actually transforming your character more and more into his likeness. He's transforming you as well as others. So to walk in that blessing is one of the most amazing experiences possible. So whatever blessing and experience that he wants each of you to go through, just understand that his way is truly the only way. And it's the only way to great peace, great love, and a great joy, and a great freedom. You walk in such a freedom as a child of the light, right? Understanding the truth and living the truth. God will just give you so much more than you'll expect, because his love is beyond comprehension. It's beyond our comprehension. It is so abundant and so full. So I just encourage you all today, and I want to thank you all today to listening to me today. And if anybody would like to receive any prayer, any specific need, I will gladly pray for anybody who would like to receive prayer. And my parents as well, if anybody else from the church would like to pray with people as well, right? Understand that the power of the Holy Spirit is so strong, and that Jesus loves you. I want you to know that Jesus loves you all. So thank you. Thank you so much for listening to me.